Lakers.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
Good morning, 8:09, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. One of the projects we've been doing all this year, or much of this year anyway, is the Pensacola News Journal has been publishing on Sunday, Monday, something like that. I see it online, so I don't know in the paper. But these articles about the history of Escambia County leading up to what has already happened, the 200th anniversary, about a month ago. And we've been having the article authors on the air to tell you what's about the history, which is kind of interesting, obviously. Today, the article was written by Brian Rucker, but because he teaches, he's not available today. His class schedule interferes. So Margot Stringfield, who we've had on several times, she's an archaeologist at UWF. She joins us. Margot, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Always, always. So I thought, you know, one of the more interesting things, the article that Brian wrote this week was about tourism and the history of Pensacola as a tourism destination. The part of this that fascinated me the most was the historical effort to tell a prettier picture of Pensacola than might always have been true, to try to, you know, market Pensacola rather than, you know, news export Pensacola, if that makes sense.
They did. They tried to market it, and it is a wonderful look back at drawing people to where you are, because it's an economy builder to encourage tourism, and certainly they did want people to come because they wanted to populate the area. So you might come, like what you saw, and then perhaps move here or tell someone else to come here. So this was so they did want people to come and visit. And interestingly, we don't see any hotels that are specifically noted in the 1820 census, but we do know people had to stay somewhere. So we think people moving through here were likely staying either in individual homes, or they were staying in the in rooms in caverns. Often caverns had rooms to let. And so we don't see the startup of a really vibrant hotel industry until we move into the American period. And then hotels pop up all over the place, and they're offering baths, and they're offering food and lovely lodging. So this is the beginning of our hotel business in Pensacola is in 1821.
Interesting. So an economy that had always had some degree of tourism really didn't become emphatic about it and build the things around the tourism industry until after the American period.
That's true, and it was a different kind of tourism. People were coming here for different things, but it ties very much into the modern era. They had a ferry. In fact, it was the first ferry service under the Americans in 1821, and so you could take the ferry and get yourself over to Santa Rosa Island and to the beach. And then, of course, in 1931, that's when our bridges are laid in, and you're actually able to drive there. But you could travel by water, and you could swim in the bay at your own risk from the bathhouses that were along the bay. And people came for many reasons. Some came because they were ill, and the climate had really been promoted here as being healthy. And so that was a draw as well. So people came for many reasons, and it began what for us is a part of our heritage tourism today. At the time, they were not thinking that way, but today, of course, we look back, and our rich and diverse history and heritage gives us a wonderful heritage tourism base.
I find it fascinating that, you know, kind of going back to the comment we made right at the beginning about the reality of Pensacola versus the marketing of Pensacola, one of the things in the article that Brian points out is, you know, we had a real problem with yellow fever over and over and over again. Not exactly the thing you put in the brochure, but it's a summer thing, so people would come here and find out that we have a real problem, right?
Well, they would, and people did not want to advertise this. Oh, my goodness, to say it was the kiss of death in terms of drawing people to your area is not an exaggeration. And so they did try, and if you had a case here or a case there, you know, they would not point it out. It had to be pretty full-blown for somebody to actually say, okay, we have yellow fever. But they were very, they noticed what was going on around him. They knew when there was yellow fever in Mobile or in New Orleans. And so this was a real deterrent. And remained so up until I think our last yellow fever epidemic here, maybe I think it was 1905, was the last one that we had in Pensacola, because they did not figure out until the turn of the century what actually caused yellow fever, and of course it's mosquito borne, and right. Then they were able to address it.
You know, I think people.
And
I was just going to say, I think one of my favorite little vignettes in the article was about, you know, tourism expectations versus tourism reality, that a guy came here from somewhere else, was visiting, and he had not one but two different run-ins with a pack of 50 wild dogs, and he managed to survive. Now, see, I always complain about the wild dogs that run around, not wild, but, you know, run around like in the country, and they yip at you when you're riding your bike or attack you. I've had dog bites twice in the last month. It's crazy. But 50 dogs? I feel like we're doing better, really.
I think so. I mean, that sounds outrageous to me, too. And I was fascinated by the German tourist, and he may have been expecting something like a spa experience coming from Germany. I mean, they had hot springs, so we would have been a rude awakening to him if he was coming here for his health and to take the waters.
Well, and also the sharks in the bay. I mean, all kinds of, it's so interesting. That's why I love the articles. It's a great service that you guys have done to educate us about history, which, of course, I know is your passion anyway. Margot Stringfield, she is an archaeologist at the University of West Florida. Next week, we'll be talking to Judy Benz. It'll be the final installation of this ongoing series. Margot, thanks so much for being available all these times. Thanks for putting together the articles. We appreciate the work you do.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrew.
Absolutely.